Okay, hello. It's 12:30. Welcome to the panel on improvisation. It happens. I want to say right off the top, I'm supposed to say, that we're not going to use the app. And the reason is that I refuse to sit up here and look at my phone.
Yay!
If my daughter texts, you know, all bets are off. I think we're going to have as few rules as possible because this is, in fact, a panel on improvisation. So I'm simply going to, you know, we have a panel of six extraordinary performers and artists. And because it's six, we decided that they would each cut from the typical 10-minute talk to roughly five. And then talk among themselves, and then we'll take some questions. If you're writing questions on cards, please write legibly. And I'm just going to introduce people by name, going right on down, and I hope I can get all this right. David Wilcox.
Yay!
Pooh K.
Hey.
Roni Barak.
Hello.
Heather Hansen.
Hi.
Cyril Aimé. That's the extent of my French, by the way.
That was
and,
great.
And Ernie Watts. And we'll start with David Wilcox.
In my opinion, improv is... Well, improvisation. We could say improvisation happens when there's a spark, where in my heart there's a start of something growing, as if there's somehow a knowing that something here is flowing from where I am to where I'm going. You can feel the hint. You can feel the invitation to walk out of your familiar station and enter into transportation, into some other imagination that may take you places you don't know, but you're sure to go. There's no harm done. You've just begun. You can feel it moving. Something's welcoming you. Maybe to see things differently than you saw before. There's an opening of a door. There's a motion. It comes from where you've been and what you feel. And oh yes, there's the lifetime of study. And oh yes, there's the scales. And oh, there's the fails. And oh, there's the days you decide to never even try something you're not already good at. But then it happens. You see it happen. Something you're tempted to call an accident manifests before your eyes with a surprise. And it makes you wise. When the paint jar tipped off of the table, you watched as it started to fall. Glass popped, shattered and splattered. Paint spray hit the wall. Bright blue glossy enamel across the kitchen floor. You said, good God, look at that pattern. I've never seen that before. Leave it like it is. Never mind the turpentine. Just leave it like it is. It's fine. Now when the paint dried, you gave it a title. You called it Kitchen Blue. A white frame painted around it, and gallery lighting too. The rich folks come over to dinner, they all want one of their own. They say, how much? Who's the artist? And my, what a beautiful home. Leave it like it is. Never mind the turpentine, just leave it like it is. It's fine. But most folks suffer in sorrow, thinking they're just no good. They don't match the magazine model as close as they think they should. They live just like the paint by number. The teacher would be impressed. A lifetime of follow the line. So it's just like all of the rest. Leave it like it is. Never mind the turpentine. Just leave it like it is.
I don't really make improvisation my art form, but it is a life form, and I use it to make my art. And improvisation is the most intimate relationship with living. It's something we all do, and the more you're in it, the more meaningful your moments are. So I use it to make things. I use it to explore movement ideas. Take a single movement and then start finding out what it can do as it permeates through space, as you add another dynamic into it. And I love the forms of improvisation, so I use them formally. I use the ideas of choice, whether in fields or in specifics, to get a sense of spontaneity in a final product. But I wish we were improvising. It'd be so much easier. My improvisation is movement, and I'm always looking for something that I haven't seen, some physical pattern that is not available in culture, something you can't get out of a dance class or out of an exercise class or out of walking around, doing your daily life. It's a dialogue with potential and space that is outside of a context. And it sort of makes sense not to think about it, but to sort of discover it. You know, you land on it. So I'd have to say improvisation and process are my my tools. And I'll pass it on to somebody who can really improvise as a performer. It's a whole row of you.
Improvisation. It happens.
Nate.
Yes.
I need you.
Okay, I'm ready.
No, it's fine.
Okay, maybe you have done this in the past, but not today.
Yes.
Today. Just I need your left hand on the guitar, please.
Left hand on the guitar.
You can play any chords.
Okay.
Any chords you want. I'm going to use my
great
finger just to...
Shall we stand?
Well, we can, yeah.
Yeah, why not? All right.
Let's get close to this mic so you can be on it.
It's fine.
You can hear me. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's fine. Okay.
Yes.
Just like...
I'm ready.
Let's say. I'm going now to create like a groove. I'm going to create a groove. Okay. Yeah.
All right, thanks. Yeah.
Ready. So I'm going to take groove. You can change your chords, so we have to. You know, I realize sometimes on my craziness in life, really. Even in the supermarket, I improvise sometimes. Walking or just playing some grooves. And I know some people, they might look at me as a crazy guy, but I don't care. The thing is, for me, improvisation is really a composition. It is. I remember this is rung a bell a few years ago while we had a panel with Dave Grusin on the same table. I remember it was here, I think. And Dave mentioned that we were talking about composition. And he said, Ronnie in the jazz concert, he did like his solo usually. When he plays his solo, he does compose while he's improvising. So this is, from that moment, it has rung a bell in my mind that, yeah, I mean, Dave is right. I mean, while I impro, for me, I could see the image of composition. So it became not only a pattern, it became an image of even percussion, you know, not improvising even on piano, but percussion, improvising on darbuka and the other instruments. So for me, it's like a journey. So because I use my dynamics in music, I use tempos, I use colors, sounds, different fingering, around my darbuka. So it's in the whole picture for me. A composition. Of course, by experience and by playing much and playing with different musicians as well, you do share this kind of ideas in improvising. So from each one of us as musicians on stage, we can throw ideas in improvisation. So it does help us a lot to create your own ideas. But really, improv as even in life we do improv, like while we're, I think, doing different things in life. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I do improv in bed while I'm sleeping or waking up. Yeah, just composing or hearing something and playing with it. So you do improv. Music. You know, because I'm a percussionist also, because I play the piano, it does help me to combine both. So that's why I feel my body has melody and harmony inside me, and the other side is of as a percussionist, I think, as a, you know, as a percussion player. So I have both, which is, I'm lucky to have this. And most of my jamming jazz gigs, which is I used to go in London and play in jazz pubs. This is while I started, while I was like 19, going to the jazz scene. I remember that prepared anything with a band. So I had to improv. I had to just listen and play first time the tune. And they give me my solo. Then I had the chance to improv. And because I had the chance to play on stage and to have this courage to go and introduce myself and to play, because I wanted to gain that experience on stage to improv. It has been, I mean, great for me all the past years, that playing with top jazz musicians and other musicians as well. I mean, like, for example, I remember the jazz concert a few days ago, playing with Ernie Watts, for example, on sax. Even if when he plays his solo and we play together, we look at each other and we feel this kind of improvisation. He, with his experience and ideas, he throw like unbelievable, like even in tune, just for percussion, I could like feel that I want to play more, as in more ideas, like new ideas. And always, I think as a percussionist, not to use the same ideas as improv, just to open my mind to new ideas as well. So it does help me a lot when I play with top musicians like Ernie Watts, for example. So yeah, I mean, here we go. Improvisation, it happens, yeah.
Hi, I'm gonna flip the script here. Will you guys, everybody stand up, please?
Can we stand up too?
Sure. Okay, all the people in the front row, please turn around and face the row behind you. And every other row, face the row behind you. All right, now make eye contact with the person across from you.
You guys can do it.
And just hold that gaze as long as you possibly can. Just don't break that eye contact. Okay, no talking. Okay, from there, I want you to raise one hand. Now raise your other hand. So you should have both hands up. Now, just follow each other. And nobody's leading, nobody's necessarily following. But just start to move your hands around and stay perfectly mirrored with your partner. Don't break eye contact. Nice. Okay. Now I want you to try to speed it up. As fast as you can, as fast as you can. All right, slow it way, way, way down. As slow as you possibly can move. And this time, like, imagine that your body is made out of honey. It's sticky, and your movement is very, very slow, like honey pouring out of a jar. Now pay attention to your partner's breath and try to sync up with that. Slowly find your way to your seat again. Good job. So congratulations, you all do improv now. Improvisation is very central to my work. It is my work. I can't really separate those ideas, but I think that routine is the enemy of creativity. So for me, I improv in everything. I can't follow recipes, you know, it's hard to stick to a schedule. So a lot of what feeds my creativity is that wild energy. And I like being put outside of my comfort zone. And in my work, I generally will set up a certain kind of dogma. So I like to have some rules that I can then break. And that's kind of my weird way of keeping it interesting. Yeah. So thank you for participating with me.
Thank you. Ernie and I know each other really well now. So when we first met over there in the room all together to talk about the panel, Howie, our moderator, said, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I know nothing of the subject. I'm not a musician, I'm not an actor, I'm not a dancer." And Howie, I think none of us know about improvisation because improvisation is the unknown. So we don't know what's coming next. And I think we're all in the same boat. And I think to improvise is to be in the present moment, 100%. And to let that moment guide your actions. And so yesterday in a panel, I talked a little bit about how I found my passion thanks to gypsies who would come in my little village in France. And so in my village, there's a gypsy jazz festival every year. So gypsies come and honor the music and play guitar. And so when I was a little girl, I would hear this gypsy music all the time because my village is kind of one of the places where this happens. And I didn't really care much for the music, and I heard it ever since I was a little girl. But once I got to meet the gypsies and to understand their culture and where their music came from, then I understood their music. And basically, the gypsies, they live every day like it's their last. They don't see further than a week. They are so raw with their emotions. I was 14 and I was hanging out with little girls and little boys that had never been to school, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And so they were not formatted, like they didn't know you have to raise your hand to ask a question, or they're very almost primitive in their actions and very, very real. And so by understanding their way of life, I understood their music, which was all improvisation. And so it's not the music per se, the sound of the guitar or the anything particular that got me into this music, except the improvisation factor. And at that moment, what I had on me to improvise was the voice. And so then I started to learn and try to get more tools in order to improvise. And in music, I don't think the improvisation happens during the solo section. It happens throughout the whole time of the music piece, and even before, when you're meeting the musicians. And even if I sing a song every single night, the same song, I always feel like I'm improvising, even if I'm singing the same lyrics, because every day I feel a different way. And if I'm 100% in the moment, then I don't cheat myself of that emotion that I'm feeling right now. And so the song cannot come the same way that it came yesterday, because today's a different day. So I think if we... Thank you, it's not finished. So I think if we learn to live in the present moment every day, and are open to receiving and listening to our emotions and what the moment is trying to tell us, then we are not scared of the unknown, because we want to know the unknown, and being in the present moment is daring to go there. And when I first got a message on Facebook from Bijou Barbosa asking me to be a part of this conference, I was like, what? I'm coming to Boulder for 1 week and I'm singing 3 songs, and then the rest I'm just talking? Okay. So it was very strange to me and a little scary, and total improvisation. And I'm so glad I took the leap, because I'm having so much fun and at the time of my life, and I would have never known if I didn't take the leap. So always take the leap.
All of us are always improvising. Improvising is called Plan B. We make plans, God laughs, then we go to Plan B. All of us, everybody, we're all improvisers, or we wouldn't be able to walk across the street. It's really important to know about how we improvise. You know, we're always observing, we're always relating, and we're always coming up with our relationship to what we feel and what we would like to see, and then what's going on, and then how do we shape what we think and feel to what's going on, really, you know. So we're trying to, we're living in our world. We all live in our own world. We all live in our own mind. It's all perception. But everyone else has a perception. So the improvising is finding the balance and finding the connection between and with everyone else's individual perceptions. I learned how to play jazz. I learned how to so-called improvise in jazz from just listening to records. I started listening to records and playing with records. So before I knew about harmony and theory and scales, I was always dealing with sound to sound. And Like right now, I have feedback. Can you hear the feedback? Yeah. Now it's worse. How are we doing with that? So the universe speaks. So we're improvising, right? The universe is improvising. Energy is improvising. You know, God wants to play. Okay? We okay? I don't know. So, anyway, all of these connections are about improvising. When I learned the rules, a lot of the rules, and a lot of the systems of music, the thing that kept me going, kept my wheels turning, kept me progressing, was improvising. Was how do we take all these rules and create something that has never been here before? Mm-hmm. Right? That's what we try. That's what we try to do. We try to create something that has never been here before in this form. So, I have a belief in freedom through discipline. Right? After you learn all the rules and learn all the concepts and you know what the rules are, then you're free to step out within the system and still have things work. So plan B is always improvisation, right? And we're all living in plan B. This morning you get up and you say, "Oh, I'm going to wear my orange socks," and you can't find them. So it's plan B. So basically, that's my concept. It's always, what is the next idea? If this isn't happening, what's going on over here? Or always staying open, like Cyril was saying. Staying open. Keep your doors and windows open. If you keep your doors and windows open, then you never know what's going to fly in. And if you want to, you can jump out. So thank you very much. Yeah.
So are there things that you want to ask each other or say to each other?
I just want to say one thing. I don't know if you agree with me, guys. Improvisation never can be repeated. The moment that you improvise, the exact moment couldn't be repeated.
Some of the most exhilarating experiences I've had have been in drum circles. At this one drum circle fire, I had this notion flash into my head that I should just make one powerful downbeat and sit out for two bars. It just sort of flashed into my head. And everyone around me, all 12 of us, we were all in this beautiful groove that had been going for 15 minutes. And I just thought, I'm going to make this one little boom and then quiet. And I came down on that downbeat, and as I listened to the next two bars go by, I realized it was quiet. I mean, everyone was quiet. And we all came back in after two bars, and we looked at each other like, wait a minute, whose idea was that?
That was it.
I'd like to ask one thing. You know, Ernie was talking about this a bit, about your training as a musician. And every one of you is highly trained. And what's the interaction between improvisation and all that training?
Well, it's, to me, it's freedom through discipline. So that means you spend hours and hours and hours and hours practicing and studying and learning the vocabulary and learning the rules of your music. And then when you get up on the bandstand and get ready to perform, you take all of that information and you throw it away. Throw it away. Then, from that point on, there's a music energy. And you listen. Musicians don't play music. There's not these musician guys and this music stuff, and then the musician goes over and plays this music stuff. A musician becomes music. We become music. Because music is what we come from. It's part of the it's part of the universal energy that binds us all. That's why you like music. That's why some things you listen to and you enjoy and you want to listen to them again because they make you feel good. Some things you listen to and you don't enjoy, so you choose not to listen to them, because there's something inside of you that always knows what's right for you. And the music is already there. The music is already in us. So we become music. We are channels for universal energy to flow through to help create beauty on this earth. That is our purpose. Our purpose is to balance energy. Right now, improvisation, music, what we are, art, spontaneity, is one of the most important things that we can have, because our system is slowly systematizing us to a point where we forget what we are and where we come from and what it is. And so we have to remind ourselves by touching and relating to this energy. And that keeps us human. That keeps us alive. Otherwise, what is happening in our culture is a very slow system of robotization, right? And we're slowly, through conditioning, being conditioned into concepts that are not really where we come from. So we have to keep reminding ourselves. That's what music is about. That's what meditation is about. That's what, you know, that's what we're involved in. So that's my little statement about that.
I actually want to say something that maybe you'll not be happy about, Ernie. But I've felt guilty about this throughout my years of being around jazz musicians and who spend hours and hours on their instruments. But I'm actually quite lazy in the practice room, meaning I don't practice.
Me too.
where I get the reason why I first fell in love with singing, it's because of the reaction of the people, the fact that I felt the joy and the happiness in the people. And so where I get my training, and I get a lot of it, but it's totally different, where I get my training is when I sing live. When I sing live is not when I learned all my homework and then I can go sing live. I like to be vulnerable on stage. And even my students always ask me, hey, do you have any warm-up tips? I don't warm up. I don't warm up because I enjoy warming up throughout the concert. I enjoy feeling the weakness in my voice in the first song and having to deal with it, not cheating myself from it. And then feeling my range stretch out throughout the show and being in the moment with my audience. And if I'm on stage and at some point I feel like I'm not learning anything, then I'm doing something wrong. And I have to put myself in a challenging spot. And it's kind of, being in the moment is a very difficult thing, not just for artists who are on stage, but in our day-to-day life, we're always connected with the phone and everything. And we as artists are no better than anyone else at being in the moment. But our job is to be human in front of people and show that we are also struggling with it. And it's to find little tricks to realize that we're in our head and we're not in the moment, and put us back in the present moment and concentrate on something that puts us in the moment. And in general, for me, it's to step out of my comfort zone, because that automatically puts me back in the moment. And that's how I learn and I get better at my craft, because I'm always putting myself in difficult positions in the environment where it's the most sensitive, meaning with the audience. So, sorry, I don't
think
practice.
I think that's really beautiful. I think that it is really beautiful. And the thing about music is it's infinite. It deals with our perception. If you think you have to practice, you practice. If you don't think you have to practice, you don't have to practice.
Well, I think I have to practice, but I don't like to.
Well, that is a choice. The thing is, the result, right? It's not whether you practice 12 hours a day. It's not whether you don't practice. It's not whether you go out and have a couple of beers because it makes you feel uninhibited and you feel like you're more creative. It's not about any of that. What it's about is doing it.
Right.
What it's about is getting to it. And however you get to it, do it. Right? The main thing we have to do is know ourselves. I spent a lot of time dealing with what we're talking about, right? Because I have spent years and years playing with people that are totally gifted. Some people don't practice at all. Some people are practicing continually. We have to decide who we are. I have to practice. Plus, it feels good to me. Every time I pick up my instrument, it's a meditation. Every time I can hold my instrument in my hand and breathe into it, it gives my life a purpose. Otherwise, I have no purpose. When I put my instrument in the case, I'm just another guy on the street standing in line at the bank. You know, I'm us. I'm trying to get across the street, you know. When I pick up my instrument, it is my solace. You know, my first wife told me that I hid out in my music. Right? You're hiding in your music. You don't want to face life. You don't want to face the world. So you go in the practice room and you spend all that time practicing. Okay, maybe so. But it's still about the result. You know, we're all who we are. And the most important thing is to find out who that is to us and be it. So, you know, I think it's great. I think whatever we do is great, because this lovely person makes incredible music. Yes. Right? These people make incredible music. That's what it's about. It's not about anything else but that.
I will add on that. I totally agree with you. What Ernie is saying now is exactly, you know, taking it out from my heart, really. Maybe I cannot express the same as the way you're saying it, Ernie, but I totally agree that when you put your instrument down, honestly, you feel like you walk in the street after, you know, a concert or something, it's the same. But when we play on stage, I feel like I, since I was kid till now, when I go really for it on stage and play, close my eyes and I go into my own world, I do meditate when I do my solos, and I never cared maybe as in what the people they want to say, because I receive sometimes messages which is I see on YouTube in a concert that I have done a few years ago in Germany, that this guy is an evil. This guy, he's, I don't know what, he's crazy, he opened his eyes when he opened his mouth, he's like, I don't know. You could read like on YouTube many comments, and this is, makes it for me interesting to see how people think about artists. And some other people, they know his name is this and that and that. He's playing from his own soul, he's playing from his own heart. This is what is music about. This is, you could see comments, you know, on YouTube of this, which is, for me, it doesn't matter. But the most important thing, I do it in honesty. Music for me is honesty.
Right.
Yeah. And thank you. And I do feel that I'm really lifted up from my seat when I play, if I'm really into it. And the people, the audience, makes me feel that way, because they give me the energy to have my own world, my improvisation world, you know? This is the way which is always I wanted to play on stage since I was kid until now, to have honesty and to have really clear mind when you play, when you perform music. Because music is about everything clean in life. It's about beautiful, clean, white soul. This is how I imagine it. So that's why sometimes I feel I'm lifted up from my seat, and I open my eyes after my solo and I feel now I'm awake. Now, oh, where am I? And because I was somewhere else. And they ask me, what do you see? What do you imagine? I have no answer. I don't know. I just like ideas comes. And I do enjoy it. It's a beautiful feeling. Like when you close your eyes, even if you eat the chocolate and close your eyes, you have this kind of second of beautiful, you know. This is how I feel when I play my instrument, believe me.
Can you hear me?
I wanted to say something about how these very absolute human experiences are also part of all performance, the difference between a performance being a bunch of actions that are well executed and being an experience that is a communion, which is what performance is the absolute honesty of the moment. And that has no parameters. So if it means that you have planned everything and that plan is not working, or that moment is not going to be in the right place, it'll find its place and become a real communion. And there's a thing that happens between the audience and the performer where the warmth, the correctness of everything becomes larger and larger, and that is so much bigger than any kind of preparation or intention. So in the end, that's really, truly what one yearns for in the experience of being sharing one's art form.
In my current series, it's very structured, and I have set up these rules where one is that once I start a drawing, I have to stay in it until I finish. So I can't step out of it and look at it and analyze it and get in my head about it. And that rule is very powerful for me because it forces me to just keep going and stay in the moment. The other rule is that I can't step out of it, and that I have to just stay internal. And it's not, and even though I'm performing live, I'm not really connecting with the audience that way. I'm feeling their energy, and it gives me a lot, but it's really about staying very, very focused and drawing. I'm just literally drawing. So those performances usually last about a half an hour to an hour, and you know, I get that question about how long does it take? And my answer really is it takes about 30 years, because that's that's all the training that I have to get to that place where I'm comfortable enough with the skills that I have, the materials, for that to find that freedom.
Every summer, I spend a week making up songs for people on the spot. I do it at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. There's a little room. There's usually maybe 10 or 20 people in there at a time, but each song is just one person's song. And I will say, so, who's got the next? And someone will raise their hand, and I'll say, so how is it being you today? And they'll say, well, I'm okay. And I'll say, is there anything you're coming from or going toward? Any part of you that's sort of not at peace? And then, for the sake of music, we're willing to trust each other, and they will tell me something about what they're feeling, what they're going through. And then I come to the instrument, and I wait, and there's this wildly magnificent silence. Because the audience knows that the only way this could ever work is if everyone in the room were to just imagine, oh yeah, it's just that guy with the guitar, but wouldn't it be nice if she could get her song? Because she deserves a good song. And just that intention of leaning into, wow, it would be nice if she could get a really great song. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm just imagining her heart, her situation, and I'll get a little hint of something. And I will start in, and it's got rhythm and melody and rhyme, and it's just coming about two words ahead. And a friend of mine came to me and said, whoa, that's so weird. You're doing the chords and the lyric, and it rhymes, and you're singing, and you're playing guitar. It's like having two brains. And I said, or none at all. Just a really big heart. I'm just leaning into my heart all the way in. Because if I were to get any bit of self-consciousness, I would start thinking, I'm not sure what I'm going to say next. What do you mean, I'm going to say next? Who do you think you were saying any of that? And so what I love about it is just relying on, it'll be there. Just go with, be on the note you're on. Trust that the next note will show up. Can we take a couple minutes and sing together? This song is called We Make the Way by Walking. And it's about not just this moment of improvisation, but what we're doing as a species on this planet, how we're going to get to where we're going. You say, I don't see a clear way through. Well, of course we have to make the way by walking. We make the way by walking. We make the way by walking. Sing. We make the way by walking. We make the way by walking. I love the harmony that I'm hearing. There's lots of different harmonies. One's way up. We meet on the mountainside. The distant dream of the land we've seen will be our only guide. I left the front door open. I stepped out just to take a look. I took my chance on a second glance. Guess how long it took. Guess how long it took. Sing.
We make it.
To set off for parts unknown. If history is kind, we're the ones who may find the way we all come home. So we make the way by walking. We make the way by walking. Listen to each other.
I have a question from a student in the audience who asks, as an artist, improvisation feels inevitable. However, how do we bring improvisation to our peers and the world that might not understand it?
Well, people don't have to understand. That's the first problem. You don't have to understand. All you have to do is feel. All you have to do is open up your heart, let the music come in. If you like it, like it. If you don't like it, go get a pizza. then you'll go somewhere else and maybe you'll like it. And that's it. We're trapped in our minds. We're locked up in our minds. And we have this feeling that if we don't understand something, we can't enjoy it. But we don't understand everything. In fact, if you really start thinking about it and looking into things, we don't understand a whole lot. We don't understand more than we do understand. So to enjoy something and feel something, you don't have to understand it. All you have to do is just listen and open up your heart. And if you don't like it, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's the other problem, right? That's one of the artists' problems is, oh, I hope they're going to like me. Oh, I hope they like this. How was that tune? Did you like that tune? Then if everybody says, no, we didn't like it, and you're going to go away and burn in hell. Because we did not like your tune, right? And then you go away and you crawl under the bed and you lie there for 3 weeks because somebody didn't like your tune. Now, it's all perception. Everybody's free to like what they want and not to like what they don't want. And all our job is, our purpose is to give you the opportunity to make the choice. That's right. You don't have to understand. I'm going to shut up now.
We are learning a lot from this man. I am. My God. I love the way you talk, Ernie, really. I mean, I love his voice too. And the accent and how slow he explains things about music.
Well, you see,
and now
we want everyone to understand.
Yes.
And it's totally a personally selfish thing. Because I don't want to have to say it four times. So I talk very slowly and clearly because I'm really lazy.
I do speak fast in life, even in speaking Lebanese, Arabic, I speak Spanish, I speak English. All my friends, my mom, Ron, speak slowly. And after listening to Ernie, especially at CWA, you know, most of the time I speak very fast, you know, like, and talking to myself, Ron, speak a bit slower. People could understand you better. So after listening to you, Ernie, now I'm learning that really I should improv talking slowly. Yes. I love this man. I love him.
My favorite at the concert, Ernie, is when you introduce your song and you said, "This next song is a song entitled Velocity."
Yes.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And he said, "Count it." Yes.
Amazing. You got it. You got it. Yes, that's right. Yes. Velocity. Yes.
So another question. Should I let this one simmer for a while? When you feel fear in the face of not knowing as you improvise, it happens, right? What do you do?
That's when it's good. That's when it feels the best. Because you know that you're learning, because it's undiscovered territory. And so it'll be some new tools that you'll have for next time. And you're just discovering in the moment. So I love when I feel fear is when I feel that I'm doing it good.
Yeah. I just breathe. And sometimes I have to breathe for a good 5 minutes. People are just watching me. I'm like, but you know, I'm just shaking otherwise, so I can't draw if I'm doing that. That's my trick.
Fear. There is a good gig will have some fear. If I'm not afraid, I don't know if I've really done anything that stretched my soul and my heart and my mind. And yes, it can be debilitating. So there are ways to remind yourself of a deeper purpose. You could concentrate on your breathing, yes, and on what it feels like to have the bottoms of your feet feel your own weight. What does it feel like to be really rooted, grounded, standing where you're standing? And then you kind of build up from there. You kind of balance your body bone by bone and stand. And the trick for me to not be in debilitating fear is I did a little sleight of hand with the fear, because the fear had this question in the back of my mind saying, "David, do you deserve to be up in front of all these people?" If I were to answer that question, the fear would be debilitating. So I turn to that question and I say, "It's actually the wrong question. The question is not whether I deserve to be in front of all these people. It's not what I deserve. They've come from perfectly comfortable living rooms to feel something. What do they deserve? They deserve music. How is that possible? That's only possible if I can get out of the way, because the music's trying to get to them. So I have to find a way to concentrate not on my fear, but concentrate on the possibility of what it feels like when you hear a good song, the right song at the right time. I know what that feels like. I remember it. I put myself there in the listener's place as if I'm calling to the music right through that nervous guy with the guitar. And then I'm not even there. To me, it's like, imagine you're standing by a dry field somewhere in New Mexico, and there's an irrigation ditch and it's full of water, and you're standing next to the valve. Oh, I don't know if I'm good enough to do. I can't really. I mean, that field is so big, and I don't know. It's just all the plants, they need to grow. And dummy, it's not you that's watering the field. Just open the valve. The water will find its way there as long as you get out of the way.
I do something like that too. When I feel fear, I let an action fall out of myself so swiftly that I have no knowledge where it's coming from or what it's about, and then I'm in the game.
Yeah.
Fear is false evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
The reason why we have fear is because we believe that we can't do something that we're already doing. I have performance anxiety, right? It's before I play. I have no anxiety when I start to play because the energy plays the music. But before I actually play the music and I'm standing backstage, I have a fear of going out to play. So what I do is meditate. I have affirmations I do. I meditate and I talk myself out of it, right? We're human beings. All we do is think. That's what we do all the time, is think continually. But being human beings, we have choice. And you can choose what you think. And when you think something that is not working for you, you can choose to think something to reverse that. So before I play, I meditate and I do my affirmations about 5 or 10 minutes before I go on. After I go on and I play the first note, then I'm finished, you know. Ernie Watts is finished. He's no longer there. There's this thing that comes through and plays music, and I'm in the audience just like you're in the audience. But the 3 or 4 minutes before I go out, I have this terrible anxiety, you know, about, oh, you know, is it good enough? Is it not good enough? Do I remember all the forms to these tunes? What's going on with the program, you know? And then I have to take myself out of that. So fear is false evidence appearing real. And when you feel that, there are ways that you can make it, you know, talk it away, because it's just a thought, it's just a concept, and you can get another concept. You know, that's the thing. If you're living a life that is making you unhappy, and your life is your concepts and your ideas and your thoughts, and all of these add up to something that's making you unhappy, then get another thought. You know, it's simple but not easy. We'll put it that way. But you can systematically talk yourself out or in of anything. That's a power that we have.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I'm not sure that we have time for another question, so I'll just make a couple of...
I'll shut up, and then you have another
No! I was just thinking that Bill Russell, the basketball player, could have used your advice. He used to throw up before every game.
Yeah. I know a lot of people that have anxiety.
And that's a problem, you know.
Oh, okay. Then we have time for another question. How much do you do for you, and how much do you do for your audience?
The bigger thing. It's not for us. It's not for me, not for you. It is the itness. It's because it's the one moment that has to happen. Not because it's for the audience, not because it represents one's self. There's just something that comes out, and it is the only thing that is there at that moment, and everyone agrees on it, or don't. I mean, yeah. And then the next moment happens.
Yeah. It goes back to honesty. I feel to both of us. We become one.
Yeah.
So this is, we become one. This is the honesty in music is, yeah, in improvisation. Yeah.
I think you're compelled to tell the truth, but you know, if you're just telling it to yourself, it's kind of pointless. You know, there's something about having an audience that makes it more real, I guess, for me.
Mm. Yeah. It's more fun.
Then, two announcements. One, Heather's piece is being auctioned and can be seen in the UMC Center Ballroom. And a number of you apparently are going to be in the improv performance tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
The giant jamboree.
And I would like to close by saying that I've been moderating panels at this conference for about 30 years, and this is the loveliest. Oh.